I was telling one of the brethren before service, I said, you know, in Papua New Guinea, you got dogs that people are trying to chase out of the church building, and people are getting bit by fleas, and there's distractions, and I'm used to that. Come to America, everything's all quiet and stuff, and I get nervous. I'm used to being able to, you know, just focus, and I don't know what it is. But I pray that I can be an encouragement. As a brother is preaching last night, the Lord laid something on my heart. So it's a brand new message. Of course, whenever you preach, you give illustrations, stuff you've given in the past, so it's not 100% brand new. I have to say that for my family. But I want to talk about the Samaritan. It's really, you know, we call it the Good Samaritan, but it's about three people and what they did with a half-dead man. And I want you to think about it. You might be that half-dead man. The Bible says, and you have to be quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're half-dead. Right. You're just waiting for your physical body to die. And then I want you to, if you are saved, I want you to ask yourself if you're the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan. And in your mind, I want you to think about who that half-dead person might be. Just a little play of words I want to preach on death road. Ungodly sinner or Christian? We're all on death road. We're on the road to death, every single last one of us. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die. But after this, the judgment. Now you're either on that road as a half-dead man, or you're on that road as a Christian. But you're on that road. Death row inmates given date, as he was saying last night, yet day before they're still working out. That's kind of amazing. But I want you to think of something. We all have a terminal illness, and it's sin. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we're saved, we receive the first fruits of the Spirit, but we're waiting for the redemption of this body. See, I have one death and two lives. My physical body still will die. Why? It hasn't been redeemed yet. It's sin. This body is going to continue to want to sin and want to do wrong until the day it dies. I'm to bring it under subjection. That's what a lot of Pentecostals don't understand. I'm bipolar. And the medicine's the blood of Jesus Christ. And the washing and regeneration of the Word of God. That's the medicine I need to take to stay sane. It's true, we're bipolar. If you're saved, you're two people. You live in a dead man's body. You drag around a dead man. The problem is we let the dead man do too much. Amen? And I want to ask you something. Are you prepared for the road you're on? So it's kind of two messages. First, I want to talk to the unbeliever, the one that doesn't know Christ, and then to the saint that does. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. God, please help me to preach your word, Lord, that I might be an encouragement and a help, not a hindrance to the work here. Lord, as missionaries, we come through and then we go, Lord, but we don't want collateral damage. Lord, we want people to see their need for a Savior. And we want the Christians to see their need to love their neighbor and help their neighbor. And that can be the person next to them or somebody halfway across the world. But help us, Lord, please. Help each one of us. I need help, Lord. I need to be more like the Savior every day. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To the unbeliever on death road, you're terminally ill. You have sin, and it will kill you. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Let's take our Bibles, look at Luke chapter 10. That's going to be the text for most of the message. Luke chapter 10, verse number 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. This man fell among thieves. If you live in this world, you're among thieves. The world, the flesh, and the devil. They're your enemies as a lost person or as a saved person, but I'm talking to you this morning, right now, as a lost person. The devil will tempt you, the world will provide, and the flesh will desire. Isn't it amazing that people would do heroin? Isn't it amazing that people become alcoholics? Why? Because the flesh has an appetite that cannot be satisfied. The pleasures of sin, the Bible says, are but for a season. Oh, it promises excitement. It promises hope. But I tell you what, in the end, it's empty. Robin Williams had $50 million in the bank the night he died. The night he committed suicide, the night he got to the point where I'm not satisfied and there's no hope and there's no purpose for living and I'm going to kill myself. Oh, what a sad thing. $50 million. I don't believe, brother, I'd kill myself if I had $50 million in the bank. I don't believe so, unless that was my hope and trust. Funny man, could tell jokes. Knew him as Mork and Mindy when I was growing up as a little kid. Don't really know what he was involved in lately, but he was a funny person, made other people laugh, but he was unhappy. He'd reached the pinnacle, had money in the bank, had a wife, three kids, but was empty. Why? Because he didn't have Jesus Christ. I want to say as a side note, I believe with all my heart what's going on with this transgender stuff is it's a matter of people having a dead man they're trying to make alive. And instead of come to Christ, and the mercy, the blood of Jesus Christ, they're trying to come out. And they're trying to do it by man's ways. Why? They're dead. They're empty. There's no hope. There's nothing on the outside that appeals to them. And they're trying to make something dead alive. And then they just go deeper and deeper into sin. I believe that with all my heart. He fell among thieves. Things that are enemies of your soul. It starts with sin. Romans 5:12, the Bible says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. When Adam sinned, he only had one law he couldn't break. And when he took of that fruit and ate it, he sinned. And that sin is passed upon all of us. Well, it's not just Adam's sins. We've got our own sins. You stick around long enough, you'll find out how ungodly you are and how wicked you are. Brethren, the problem today is so many churches are trying to get lost people into the church to feel good about themselves. And until you realize you're a sinner and undone and ungodly and without hope in this world, you're not going to be looking for Jesus Christ. You might want him as a rabbit's foot, and you might want him to help your marriage, you might want him to help your career, but he came to die for your sins, plus nothing, minus nothing. And he wants to save you from yourself and from your sins. But you got to come lost. The church, you know what? If you're lost today, praise God you came to church. Nothing against lost people come to church. But we're here, why? That we might hear the word of God, be strengthened as Christians, and that we might go out and serve God. People should be getting saved out there and coming here to get fed. This should be a place for us to pray and join together and serve God that we might go out into that world. But brethren, if we make the world, the church like the world, then it's really not an escape, is it? Think about that. He fell among thieves. He was stripped of his raiment. Innocence lost. Adam was stripped of his innocence when he sinned. Think about that. They were naked in the garden, didn't know anything about sin. But as soon as they were stripped of that raiment, that outward, that righteous that was God's, guess what? They tried to go cover up. Think about that for a while. And that's all people are trying to do. They're running for cover. But they need the blood of Jesus Christ. See, that's sin. But his raiment was stripped from him. Look at Isaiah 64:6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. I don't mean to be crude, but that's the menstrual cycle or a cloth. I believe that. That's what God sees as our righteousness. A filthy thing that should be thrown in the heap. Oh, brethren, we need the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at this. We do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Isn't it interesting they try to cover themselves with the leaf? A fig leaf. But God had to kill an animal and cover them. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sins. Not only was he stripped of his raiment, they departed, leaving him half dead. And like I said already, you're half dead if you're not saved. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're left. You've been left half dead by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Give you some scriptures, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. You know, Papua New Guinea, if you say that, for the wages of sin is what? Pay belong sin, and we want them. They'll all say, die. But then ask him, well, how do you get saved? Well, by going to Mass, by keeping the Sabbath day, by joining the Mormon church, by passing out the watchtower, by getting baptized. It's all there. It is all there on steroids, brethren. There's Pentecostal churches that you got to shave your beard and your head and get baptized at 2 o'clock in the morning and then come up speaking in tongues. And there'll be people that do that and reject Jesus Christ. It is amazing. Romans 5:6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He talked about last night, ungodly. We are ungodly. But this is the good news, folks. Christ died for you if you're ungodly. He died for Niels Gade. If all he saw was Niels Gade's sin and the wrath of God that was going to fall upon me in that cup, and he died, what a Savior. What a God that he would die for me. And yet it wasn't just Niels Gade, it was everybody. The sins of the whole world. And he's a hope and a help and a peace. But men and women do not want righteousness today. They don't want Christ to rule in their lives. And it's the most blissful and peaceful and joyous thing to walk with Christ. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love towards us. And that when we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. I messed that one up. But God commended his love towards us, and that while we were at sinners, Christ died for us. And let's read Ephesians chapter 2. Almost done with the first part. So, Christian, don't go too far away. Maybe this will encourage you on how to witness to people. Fill yourself with the Word of God. Brethren, it's just not the Romans Road, it's the Ephesians Expressway, the Hebrew Highway. The corn coal tar, we call it coal tar over there. Genesis Gateway, there's a Bible that we need to know and have in our lives that we might witness to people. I would challenge you, if you've never read your Bible before, it's probably why you're weak in your Christian faith. You need to be getting it every day, every day. I can't get enough of it. Ephesians chapter 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, somebody said earlier yesterday about that, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Brethren, God could live anywhere, right? He created the universe. I just looked up the sky and saw Orion today, brother. I can see Orion from Papua New Guinea. I can see Pleiades. I can see the Big Dipper, and I get to see the Southern Cross. Amen? You don't get to see that. Oh, what a joy to see the power and the creation of God. But he could create anything, brother. And he could live anywhere. But God chose to live in the ghetto. God chose to live in the projects. Now, I don't know about you, but when he decided to come live in my life, it was the ghettos and the projects. He had to do a lot of fixing up and repairing. Almighty God, the creator of the universe, what love he has for us, knowing what we are and what we're going to be, decided, I'm going to come and dwell with you and live in with you and make you a new creature. What a God. Oh, brethren, God is love. But he's not going to accept you in your sin. Problem is, people want God to accept them. No, you got to accept Jesus Christ. We're sinners, and he came to save sinners. He came to save the wicked of us all. Amen to God. Now, let me talk about a couple guys that tried to escape death, just in case you think you might be one of them. You know, Ahab, the prophet said, Ahab, you're going to die. Ahab said, that's all right. Jeroboam, was it Jeroboam? I'm missing who it was. It wasn't Jeroboam. What was the king's name? That was with Ahab. They were going to go fight together. My mind just went blank. Come on, pastors. No, it wasn't Rehoboam. Jehoshaphat. Thank you. It was telepathically you gave it to me. Ahab and Jehoshaphat were going to fight. And what he said to Jehoshaphat, hey, you go wear your kingly garment, but I'm supposed to die today, and I'm going to go disguise myself. Death don't miss. At an adventure, that man pulled back that bow and just let it fly. And that arrow got Ahab right in between the backbone there. And he died. You won't escape death. Another guy, Saul, what did Saul try to do? Saul went and found him a witch. I was just thinking, like the brother said, you know, here are these guys. They're going to die. Tomorrow's appointed time to die. Instead of Ahab getting on his knees and say, what a wretch I am. I should have never married this woman and gotten right with God. He's going to try to get away with it. See, he'd gotten away with it. He'd gotten away with killing Naboth. He'd gotten away with so many things. He thought he could get away again. But see, God is rich in mercy. He's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's a loving God and a merciful God, and will put out his hand and put out his hand and put out his hand. But when you refuse and you would not have knowledge and you chose not to fear the God, guess what? When it's your time and you cry out to him and he laughs at you, and everybody will cry out to him at the great white throne judgment. You'll either get on your knees in this earth and say, Jesus Christ, you're God, you're righteous, you're the Son of God, you're holy. Save my wretched soul. Or you will bow and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord at the great white throne judgment. He'll say, angels, take him and cast him in the outer darkness forever and ever and ever. You will praise him. In hell, they're not cursing God. In hell, they see him as righteous. They see him as holy. And they say, you are God. And you are Christ. And we were fools. You see, there's a different, you know, a lot of people got perception. No, they're not cursing God. They know who he is. They know his righteousness. They know his justice. And they know why they're there. See, on earth, they say, oh, what kind of God would send somebody to hell? The kind of God that gave everything to give us life. He doesn't want us to perish. But Saul went to a witch. He still died. And then the rich man, look at the rich man of Lazarus. The rich man said he died and went to hell. And even in hell, when it was all said and done, and he's just wanting a drop of water on his tongue. Just a drop. Man, I'd be wanting gallons. He just wanted a drop. That's how hot it was. And that's how dry it was. And how just the torment he was in. And he said, would you sin, Abraham? Sin, Lazarus. What does Abraham say? Though one rose from the dead, they will not believe. And brethren, it's true because one did rise from the dead. And he conquered sin. He conquered death. And anyone who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you need his righteousness. And I want to close this section with about the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And why you need to be clothed in him and give a picture of that righteousness. In sheep herding, you got shepherds do this. They'll have a baby lamb and a mother here, and a baby lamb and a mother here, and this mother dies. And this baby lamb's going to die because it's not getting milk. And then over here, The lamb dies. And the mother's got milk, but ain't got a way to get rid of it. Well, you would think, hey, just bring the baby lamb over to the other lamb and, or the mama, and it just feed, right? Mama won't accept it. Well, if you're a farmer and that's your livelihood, you got to figure out a way. How are we going to take care of this thing? And this is actually what they do. They take the coat off the dead lamb and put it on the live lamb. Cut the legs here, down the side. Just take the coat and put it on that live lamb and then take it over to the mother. And then that mother will give it milk. And over time, they can take that off. Brethren, Jesus Christ took my place on Calvary. He shed his blood. No sin. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous in the eyes of God through him. And that book of sin, this is my book, all full of sin. I know it's the Bible, pretend like it's everything Niels Gade's ever done. And a lot more than I'd written in it, but God writes everything down. And it's full of sin. And that's Jesus Christ. It's empty. No sin. And when I said, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need Jesus Christ, and I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ that it's enough, sufficient, and he saved me, I got a clean book. I got clothed in his righteousness, and all my sin was put on him. Brother, you can't get a better deal than that. You can't get a better deal than that. But you got to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it takes you humbling yourself. Pride is dangerous. Humility is safe. But it takes humbling yourself to come and say, I'm not good enough. Praise God for his salvation. Now let's go to Christians. The Christian on death road. Let's go and look at Luke chapter 10. Now, folks, we're walking along this road. We're leaving Jerusalem to go down to Jericho. And we hear some rustling in the bushes. Who could it be? I don't want you to get too tied up in this, but I'll just throw out one person that could be in the bushes. I'll throw out one person that is in the bushes. Barack Obama. He's half dead in the bushes. The world, the devil, and the flesh has gotten him. And he's going to bust hell wide open. You know, being a priest and being a Pharisee and Levite, maybe it was Jesus Christ in the bushes. They would help him. Brethren, what if you were raised like he was raised? Manasseh was a son of Hezekiah and yet rejected God and did worse than the heathen. Tore down the altar of God and brought Balaam in and Baal and Ashtoreth and all the gods. Shed blood in the city of Jerusalem. Some say he killed the prophet Isaiah. The Bible doesn't say, but somebody did. And yet, when somebody came and preached to him the word of God, he repented and got saved. Obama needs change. The country needs change. They need Jesus Christ. I don't know who's in your life like that. But just say that that person is in the one in the bushes right now. You know, if me and Brother Stucky and Brother Rob here, we robbed a guy and beat him up, we wouldn't leave him in the middle of the road. We'd throw him in the bushes, right? You know, Marine, Air Force, were you in the military, brother? Oh, that's all right. You got stuck up with two military people, and we threw the guy in the bush. Brother Yalls was, you know, had some money on him. We threw him in the bushes, and he's bigger than us. It took three of us to do it. And they hooked up with me because Marines are dumb, right? They made me do all the dirty work. But he's in the bushes. And I know the Bible doesn't say, but I just get, whosoever shall call upon him, Lord. Be careful who you call upon. Because he's calling upon some people to help that can't help him and don't want to help him. You better call upon the Lord. The pastor can't save you. Sunday school teacher can't save you. It's Jesus Christ. We can direct you. We can show you, but Christ has to save you. So let's look at verse 31. He's left half dead. Let's read 30 again. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. There's a nation of people in Papua New Guinea left half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. A certain priest. You know, 1 Peter 2:5 says we're all priests. Hope you're not this priest. But this priest came by this way. And look at Romans 12 real quick. Let's read 1 Peter 2:5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So you have a priest, comes by chance. See, I hope the Samaritan had some purpose. But this guy was just walking by chance. And if you're doing God's will, it ain't by chance. Now think about this guy for a minute. He loved God. He had the credentials. He's religious. You could say he was a pastor. It was his job, the priest's job, when somebody came and brought a lamb or a dove or a turtle dove or a sacrifice, it was his job to take that sacrifice and offer it before God. It was his job to help people that are half dead. It's the work that he's groomed for and taught. He has the right book. He has the right clothes. He has the right temple. He has everything he needs to do it. Thing is, he loved all those things. Man, he enjoyed that position. He enjoyed the name. He enjoyed the work. But he didn't love the people. You know we can be like that, like the priest. We love being able to tell people we're Baptists and we're saved, but we don't love the half-dead person. Brethren, we got the right book. We got the right church. We got the right tracts. We got the right Savior. We got the right sacrifice. But it's worthless if you don't love the person that needs help. It's a whole nother message I could preach. Do you endure the people and love the work, or do you endure the work and love the people? Christ endured the cross, brethren, for the joy set before him. And if you're saved today, that's the joy set before him. And Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, you're my glory, you're my joy, you're my crown of rejoicing when you stand before Christ. Amen. Brethren, I could care less about being a missionary. I love those people. I love them. People, you get on the plane, they stink. I don't care. When I worked in the inner city of Charleston, South Carolina, I got around some people that stunk. I got used to it. I had drunks knock on my door in Charleston, South Carolina, when I worked in the inner city with the heroin addicts and the Muslim Palestinians and all that. And I invite them in, give them the word of God and preach to them while they're sitting there eating because they're hungry because they wasted on beer and they're drunk. And they say they're not drunk, fall asleep in the table after denying that they were drunk and witness to him. When he woke up, he'd run away. And yet I go to Papua New Guinea, and it's full of missionaries that won't let a man in their house that's a national. I don't understand that. I told a missionary I was working with, I said, look, I'm not trying to cause trouble here on the station. I'm not the one that came here first. I said, I'm not trying to cause trouble, brother. But I let drunks in my house in America. I'm going to let these pastors in my house. I don't understand that. I love them. I tell them all the time, I need to be your friend. Pastor Stuckey doesn't want to see me. I need friends in Papua New Guinea. Really? Amen? Do we love the people? Or are we just a priest love our job. And I give the illustration, you know what? You can love your marriage and not love your wife. You can love the privileges of being married and what comes with marriage and endure your wife. Wife, you get to run around with him and you've got prestige and, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know, Gwenny feels that way, but you know what I'm saying? You can love what you benefit, ladies, from your marriage more than you love your husband. You just endure him. Because like he said last night, you don't want to train somebody else. Missionaries, this is the whole thought when I first, I'm going a different route tonight, but I can't help but throw this in. I see on the mission field, people love being a missionary. But they don't love the people. And Jesus Christ died for people. Praise God we can sit down on padded pews. Praise God we're not out in the rain. Praise God for all those things. But this church building ain't going to heaven. People are. Nothing wrong with it, but it can't be our focus, and we can't try to fill the place up. We got to minister and love people. But this priest didn't. I praise God Christ endured the cross and loved me. He didn't embrace the cross, brethren. Father, if be thy will, I'll do it, but if there's another way. Number two, the Levite. And by chance, verse 31, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite. Now, the Levite can be who? Song leader, deacon, Sunday school teacher. You know, they're responsible for setting up the incense and making sure the lighting's right and the candles are lit. Talking about the priest time. Making sure the song service is good. Has a responsibility. He's the go-to man in the church, and he loves it. But he doesn't love the guy that's in the ditch throwing up on himself. He doesn't love the man that's destroying the country. Lost on their way to hell. Brothers, you ever see what you were? I could have been Hitler. Praise God, I could have gotten to the point like Pharaoh to where God started hardening my heart. I'd hate to be that person that God started hardening my heart to where I couldn't get saved and spent eternity in hell. And I don't, brother, I've been molested, born a bastard. A lot of things happened to me. But if they'd get saved and know Jesus Christ, what a joy that would be. Because what they did to me, I would not feel good that they were in hell for eternity. I'm not God. I'm a wretched sinner that Christ saved, and I'm thankful for that. But that Levite, man, he loved God. He had the heritage. He was Baptist. He was a missionary. You know what I'm saying? He had it all together. He was right, had the right book, all that. But look what happens. And likewise, a Levite, likewise, by chance, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. How often do we pass by on the other side? It's missions, brethren. Brethren, I praise God y'all support us. And I praise God that you've grown each year. But don't use a missionary as an excuse not to minister to your neighbor. Amen. Don't use me as an excuse not to help the person next door. Real quick on soup kitchens, and those are great things, brethren. But you know, We can have a soup kitchen, set up a soup kitchen, aid post, whatever, and have thousands of people come in big ministry and never reach nobody. But to take a hungry person, let him come to your house and sit at your table to where you minister and you're sacrificing of your time because it's not scheduled. You schedule going down to the soup kitchen. The person knocking on your door or holding up a sign, that's not scheduled. And we like to schedule things. Guilty. But I've learned one thing. I've got to get close to the people. They need to know who's working among them, and I need to know them. Then I might be a help to them. All right, lastly, but a certain Samaritan. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he had purpose. He had business. It wasn't by chance. He was doing something. We need purpose in life, brethren. All things work together for them that love God. To them they're what? Called according to his purpose. Has a purpose. You know, we schedule everything. We're going to go out outreach tomorrow. I have no problem with that. I think it's good. It helps us come together and get with somebody that's been witnessing stuff, and it will help you. But on Monday, when you walk by that person and the Lord says, give them a track, well, you know, Lord, it's not a visitation. I call it scheduled spirituality. You know, even your flesh will learn to go on visitation on Saturdays. Because it gets used to it, all right? It was rough the first couple of times, but I've kind of gotten used to it. What we hate is stop the car, get out, call that person on the phone, and that's probably when God's dealing with somebody. Don't stop visitation, brother. But that should be just something that encourages us to do stuff on our own. Amen? The Samaritan wasn't on visitation. He was on a business trip. He was working. He was busy. He had a journey. He had a purpose. Came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Compassion. Matthew 9, 36 through 38. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The Supreme Court, the House of Congress, the House of Representatives, the government all over this country have no shepherd. And a lot of people in DeRidder and a lot of people throughout this world have no shepherd. Brethren, they're sinners. They're probably good at it. We need to have compassion and love them and realize that's what we were before we got saved. Then saith he and his disciples, the same disciples that wanted to call fire down from heaven and kill the Samaritans. James and John, Lord, they're not really in it. Should we call down fire? Well, they'd have probably cooked the guy. In Papua New Guinea, it's cooked. They would have cooked the guy that was going to help this half-dead man. The harvest truly is plenteous. And you're wanting to burn it all up, guys. But the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers in this harvest. But don't pray for a priest and a Levite to go. Pray for a Samaritan to go. Now, what about the Samaritan? He didn't have the right name, didn't go to the right church. And don't confuse this with, I'm saying that false doctrine's all right. I'm not saying that. Didn't wear the right clothes, didn't have the right, you know, form and didn't present things right, but he stopped and gave him himself. In fact, in Papua New Guinea, they call it half cuss, half breed. He was an outcast. He'd probably suffered for that. Brethren, it's not only that we believe on Jesus Christ, but that we suffer for him. And if Jesus Christ had to learn suffering, listen to this, if Jesus Christ had to learn suffering, learned obedience through suffering, we will suffer. And I hate to tell you, we don't suffer much. Go to a third world country. Go to Iraq. Go to Iran. Go to China. Go to these countries that we despise and we hate, where there's Christians that are being persecuted. There's Iraqis that are being persecuted and put to death for Jesus Christ. There are Chinese and Russians being persecuted and put to death. I don't mind hating the governments, but I'm just telling you, brethren, there's people in those countries that love God and are serving God and doing more for God than we are. Compassion, a sensation of sorrow, excited by the distress or misfortunes of another. Pity. Pity is compassion accompanied by or with some act of charity or benevolence. What are we doing for our neighbor? I'm not necessarily talking about our next door neighbor. The point is, this guy was not the next door neighbor to Samaritan. It was somebody in need. Who's your neighbor? Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the world. Brethren, are you half dead and need Christ? Or are you a Samaritan? Look at this. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, picture the Holy Spirit, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And real quick, for pastors, for missionaries, and really for you, brother, for any of us, even you in your own home, you know what? There's sometimes God's going to require us to sacrifice. Christ does the saving, and then he puts them under us as pastors, as missionaries. But he also puts you in the church to be a help and be a body, maybe either hand, a foot, and you can help. And guess what? If you spend more than you are given, when Christ comes back, he'll repay you. He'll repay you. Brethren, I remember when he came the first time. Go, here am I. I don't know if y'all remember, some of you. The kids started popping up. I said, here am I. I'll go, Lord. Then Gwendy popped up, me too. And we sang, go tell the untold millions. Brethren, there's a lot that know the name Jesus Christ, but they don't know the saving power of Jesus Christ. And I think in this day and age, brethren, we've become guilty of trying to win them to ourselves and our personality and how blessed we are, and yet don't understand that when Christ was on the cross, he was not blessed. I want you to think about this. He wasn't blessed. He didn't have a nice chariot waiting for him. He'd been beaten by Herod. Didn't think of his reputation. Everybody thought he was guilty. He wasn't fighting for himself. He was a piece of bloody meat on a cross. Nothing. Had nothing. Wasn't doing nothing for nobody. I'm talking about physically. And yet, that thief on the cross looked at the other thief and said, hey, don't you fear God? See, he chose knowledge and he chose the fear of God. And I said, looked at that piece of bloody meat. They couldn't give him nothing in this world. I want what that man's got. Lord, remember me. And Paul and Silas in jail. What did they have, brother? They were beaten for what they believed. What did the apostles say in Acts chapter 4 and other places? That we are able to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. And we run from it. And brethren, it's coming. It's coming, but we need to rest in Christ. And we need to, as we can, send people out. Not just to foreign countries, but to our neighborhoods, to the world. And maybe God's calling you. And I'm not, look, this is the last thing I said to those men on that porch before I broke my arm. Get a little Bible study in the morning. I said, I fought a good fight, finished my course, kept the faith. I said, let's do it today. When I got saved, brother, I got saved as a Pentecostal preacher, lost on my way to hell, gave up all that stuff. And when I got saved, all I wanted to do is clean the toilets, cut the grass at the church, do anything my pastor helped me. Went to nursing homes with my family, preached on a street corner, witnessed to people on my job. And then the Lord led me into the inner city, and I was just happy to serve God. And then God sent 4 Papua New Guineans over. How many people got called to China where 4 Chinese came over? You know, how many people got called to Africa? You know what I'm saying? But I'm in an inner city working with black folks, and 4 Papua New Guineans come over, and my heart was knit with them. Because you know what? Most of them are bored bastards. Most of them are 70% of women are raped over there. I understand their problems because of what was done to me and how I was brought up, and God prepared me. I never imagined, but I know that's where God's called me. And God's called you wherever you're at, to serve with all your heart and all your life. And then as you serve and you grow, you might come across someone that's half dead. You won't get no glory. He wasn't even at home. It wasn't even his home church. It was out of the way. Nobody knew about it. We only know about it because it's in the Bible. But if we're not willing, if we don't need the recognition all that, brother, then God can use us. Yeah, that means Facebook and selfies and all that's got to go. Understand. But are you willing to suffer for the cause of Christ? Because you know how they're going to tell we're different than somebody else, brother? It's how we handle suffering. They're going to know I'm different because they don't like crippled people in Papua New Guinea. They think they're useless, but here's a crippled man coming back to give my life and to sit with them and to talk with them and to give them God's word because I love them and care for them. Are you willing to allow God to cause suffering in your life to help someone else? Everybody's rich in America, brother. But if we'll suffer for the name of Christ and we do it with the right heart and the right attitude, the world can't duplicate that. The Mormon church can duplicate a nice church. The Mormon church can duplicate family stuff. The Mormon church, you know what I'm saying? They can all duplicate a lot of things. But one thing they can't duplicate is when you're cursed, you bless. When you're railed upon, you give back grace. And I'll close with this, a story. It just come to my mind. You know, you've heard some of the stories how a man's just beating the snot out of his wife, and I stop the car, and machetes and kids and families begging me not to get out of the car, and I go break up the fight. And I tell the guy, you want to fight somebody, fight me. Well, I realize something now, brother, that old Marine. I would have to get out of the car and say, all right, run into my back end. You know, it was right. It was right for me to do that. But God showed me something, Neil, as you were operating in your strength. You're relying upon you a little bit too much. He saw my heart. My attitude was right. But it showed me something. We went back in December. This guy's racing by us, going through all the lights, and we're in town. We're not in the bush. There's not lights in the bush. And he's like, we end up following him, not on purpose. But he stops, gets out, and it looks like he's going to beat this woman up. And I'm crippled now, you know, so I'm driving. I'm thinking. And my wife knows I'm thinking. I'm like, Lord, I can't do nothing. And I turned around the car back and pulled up with a whole different attitude. Because now, he didn't, praise the Lord. But now I'd be like, sir, instead of beating up your helpless wife, beat up this helpless Christian. I can't fight you. But see, now I'm taking her place. I got two sorry shoulders. What am I going to do? And hopefully in the midst of his beating me, he'll see that he's got the problem. It's not his wife. It's not me, but it's him. Brethren, I'm not saying I can do that. But by the grace of God, I can. And then they'll see, that guy's got something in his heart I ain't got. And you can't duplicate that, brethren. Have a heart. Brethren, praise the Lord. I pray your money increases. But pray for your missionaries. You don't know the heart attack I had and the measles I had and now dealing with cancer. And God's been good, but I need your prayers. And the missionaries need your prayers. And it'd be nice every once in a while if one of you send me something that's going on in your church so we can pray for you, because we do pray for you. Because it's about a relationship. It's about a relationship. It's not about my name being up there. It's about a relationship, because we're in a fight together. Hold the rope. But you know what? You're in a mission field too. You are in a mission field. People are confused. They're half dead. You're in a mission field, brother. Go and serve God where you're at.